Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and welcome to this month's Life Note for Spiritual Month, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. I'm your host, Jordan River, and this month's Life Note is The Art of Living, the Classical Manual on Virtue, Happiness, and Effectiveness by Epictetus and Sharon LaBelle. As always, we'll begin with a quote. To live an extraordinary life means we must elevate our moral stature by culturing our character. Core concept. This book is a synthesis of well-known Stoic Epictetus's only two surviving works that summarize his philosophy, the Enchiridion and the Discourses. Sharon LaBelle has taken the spirit of Epictetus and made it accessible to today's audiences. The end product is a series of 93 short, witty instructions that guide us in the art of living towards an elevated state of being. So let's dive right in to today's big thoughts. Epic Who, the man behind the manual. Born a slave in 55 AD in the eastern reaches of the Roman Empire, Epictetus would become known as one of the world's classical philosophers and the father of Stoicism. His teachings focused on two important questions: how do I live a happy, fulfilling life? And how can I be a good person? While his works are less well known today, they've had enormous influence on some of the world's greatest thinkers for almost two millennia. Epictetus was a master of logic and rhetoric, but didn't flaunt his achievements. Instead, he urged his students to take the business of living wisely very seriously, just as he did. Quote, Epictetus believed that the primary job of philosophy is to help ordinary people effectively meet the everyday challenges of daily life, and to deal with life's inevitable major losses, disappointments, and griefs. End quote. He stripped his moral teachings of sentimentality and piousness and grounded them instead in simple, rational principles for living the best life possible. For him, a happy life and a virtuous one are synonymous. That happiness and personal fulfillment is simply a natural consequence of doing the right thing. Epictetus's recipe for the good life is less about following a list of precepts and more about bringing our actions and desires into harmony with nature. Quote, what matters most is what sort of person you are becoming, what sort of life you are living. End quote. Sorting out Stoicism. A brief definition. Quote, why might Stoicism still matter and be of use to us in the 21st century? End quote. Before we dive into Epictetus' teachings, we want to clear up some popular misconceptions surrounding Stoicism. When we hear the word Stoic, our minds probably jump to such attributes as solemnity, rigidity, and passiveness. But Stoicism is not just a fancy word for emotional repression. While there is a moral sternness implicit in Stoic theory, Stoic ethics are actually compatible with the ideals most of us honestly harbor for ourselves and for humanity. Deep down, most of us probably wish we could handle life without getting brought down by the social instability that characterizes the century we live in. But we also don't want to be the first one to step up. Thus, we go on living sufficiently good lives. Not exceptionally good, but sufficient. Our thoughts, words, and actions conform to what is socially acceptable, thereby cutting us off from virtue. Enter Stoics. Quote, Stoics are unabashedly in the virtue business. Stoicism sees virtue as being uniquely and unconditionally good. Other good, such as friendship, kindness, love, or beauty, are extremely valuable, but only conditionally good. Virtue reigns supreme. End quote. Virtue is the way home to ourselves and to a truly engaged sense of relating to others. Stoicism offers us comfort and emboldens our human spirit without having to sacrifice reason. A Manual for Living. In this section, Epictetus's manual, or Enchiridion, is given to us in Lebel's words. It is a succinct set of excerpts that come together to form a concise summary of Epictetus's essential teachings. Roughly, it was modeled on military manuals of the day, and so shares some of the bold simplicity of other classics, such as The Art of War. Apparently, some soldiers even carried copies of the manual into battle. Across centuries and cultures, countless people have relied on this set of instructions to guide them through the trials of life, to find inner peace and moral direction. Let's take a look at some of the more pivotal precepts encapsulated by the manual. Harmonize yourself with nature and reality. Harmonizing ourselves with nature and reality should be our utmost ideal. We should conduct ourselves in all matters, grand and public, small and private, in accordance with the laws of nature. This is not about what we are doing, but how we are doing it. When we understand and live by this principle, we will have a chance to achieve inner peace. Create your own merit. Quote, never depend on the admiration of others. There is no strength in it. Personal merit cannot be derived from an external source. End quote. It is a fact of life that not everyone will agree with us, understand us, or share our passions all the time. So what? It is up to us to create our own merit. We each have been given our own work to do. Epictetus calls us to get to it right now and do our best at it. He also challenges us to think about what is really our own. The answer is the use we make of our ideas, the resources and opportunities that come our way. We are to make the most of what we've got. Quote, you can be justifiably happy with yourself and at ease when you've harmonized your actions with nature by recognizing what is truly your own. End quote. Look adversity right in the eyes. This one may sound a bit morbid, but Epictetus makes a good point here. Instead of averting our eyes away from the painful situations in life, we should look them squarely in the eye and contemplate them often. By doing this, we free ourselves of illusions and false hope. See the big picture. We should work towards cultivating the habit of surveying and testing a prospective action before undertaking it. By this, Epictetus means we should step back and look at the big picture in order to avoid acting simply on impulse. Quote, determine what happens first, consider what that leads to, and then act in accordance with what you've learned, end quote. Epictetus uses the example of somebody who wishes to participate in the Olympic Games. They've identified their desire, but before they act, they should take a step back and consider all the possibilities. They will have to follow a strict training regimen and diet. They would have to follow the instructions of their trainer. They would have to consider the possibility of injury. And even worse, after going through all that, they would have to consider the possibility of failure. Only after weighing all of these possibilities is the person prepared to exercise effective judgment. By considering the big picture in this way, we can separate ourselves from dabblers, people who play at things so long as they are comfortable. Epictetus calls us to give ourselves fully to our endeavors, for unless we do this, quote, we are hollow, superficial people, and we never develop our natural talents. End quote. Clearly define your habits. The title of this principle could also be Establish Your Life Vision, for that is exactly what Epictetus is telling us to do in this section. Lifebook members around the world rejoice, but more than simply identifying a desirable outcome, we are to stop being vague and start explicitly identifying the things we want and the person we desire to be. And we shouldn't just think about these things. We should write them down in our life book so that we can take the first step towards bringing them into reality. Start living your ideals now. This is the very last principle in the Manual for Living. Here, Epictetus stresses that the time to get serious about living our ideals is now. Once we have determined the premises we wish to exemplify and live by, we shouldn't wait another minute. We should abide by them as if they were laws. Stop the excuses and the procrastination. These are our lives. Quote, "From this moment on, vow to stop disappointing yourself. Separate yourself from the mob. Decide to be extraordinary and do what you need to do now." End quote. Why be good? Essential teachings on virtue, happiness, and effectiveness. The instructions in this section focus on seeking virtue and happiness in an effective way. Epictetus advocated being good for its own sake, but also for the practical reason that a virtuous life leads to inner coherence and outward harmony. Quote, "There is great relief in being morally consistent. The soul relaxes, and we can thus efficiently move towards our endeavors, as Epictetus would say, without hindrance." End quote. Here, Epictetus shows us how to call forth the best within us by making our personal moral code explicit to ourselves. As our outward actions fall in line with this code, we win freedom, ease, and confidence. He asks us to minimize emphasis on lifestyle choices and concentrate instead on small inner moral choices we make throughout the course of an ordinary day. The soul's cry. When we finally reach the end of our rope, Epictetus says to listen out for philosophy's call. He defines philosophy simply as, quote, "the art of living a good life and the love of wisdom," end quote. Eventually, we will all experience the insistent feeling that something isn't right with our lives, and will long to be restored to a better version of ourselves. It is these feelings and the emotions they elicit that prompt us to ask our first philosophical questions. Quote, "It's true, there is no obviously apparent meaning to our lives," end quote. Pain, suffering, and inconveniences are all around us. So how do we deal with all of this and live ennobled lives instead of succumbing to despair and numbness? Epictetus points out that once we begin asking these profound philosophical questions, what he defines as the soul crying out, it's a sign that we have arrived at a, quote, "necessary, mature stage of self-reflection," end quote. While this is a good point to reach, we are cautioned not to get stuck in this stage, wringing our hands. Instead, we are to move forward and resolve to heal ourselves. Philosophy of this sort requires us to move into courage. Quote, "Its remedy is the unblinking excavation of the faulty and specious premises on which we base our lives and our personal identity." End quote. The flourishing life depends on self-sufficiency. Quote, "The flourishing life is not achieved by techniques. You can't trick yourself into a life well-lived." End quote. It also can't be reached by following 5 or any other number of simple steps. Instead, a flourishing life depends on us responding to the things that are inescapable. Quote, "To live an extraordinary life means we must elevate our moral stature by culturing our character," end quote. People who have not cultivated their character tend to brood over those elements of their life that they cannot change, and they waste precious time wishing their lives were different, but zero time spent actively trying to change it. Those who are morally trained, instead of avoiding these inescapable facts, look them squarely in the eye and accept them. They immerse themselves in the present situations for, quote, When we succumb to whining, we diminish our possibilities. End quote. The virtuous are invincible. Quote, the difference between the instructed and the ignorant is that the wise know when the virtuous are invincible. End quote. And by invincible, Epictetus means that they aren't tricked and provoked by the way things appear to be, by the illusions in life. Those that he called the instructed respect the bond that we share with the rest of the universe and thus carry themselves as compassionate, self-aware citizens of that universe. They understand that wisdom leads to tranquility and that wisdom comes from aligning themselves with nature and reason. The virtuous are consistent. In order for us to live virtuous lives, our thoughts, words, and actions must all be consistent. Of course, most people want to be good and try to some degree to be good. Then some sort of moral dilemma rears its ugly head. Many people give in to exhaustion. But when our thoughts, words, and actions all form one seamless fabric, we're able to streamline our efforts. We don't have to negotiate any differences between the three. Instead, we can eliminate worry and dread. In this way, it's actually easier to seek goodness than conduct ourselves in a haphazard fashion, giving in to the feelings of the moment. When we are consistent, we can relax. We will know that we've done the best we can under the circumstances. Our minds won't have to make any excuses, think up any alibis, defend our honor, or waste time feeling guilty. We can simply learn from the situation and move on to the next thing. Quote, it's so simple, really. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you start something, finish it. End quote. What makes us truly happy? As we remember from Lifebook's big picture principle, the primary goal in life is to seek happiness. We all want happiness, fulfillment, and contentment. The catch is, Epictetus says, that many of us confuse the means, such as wealth, status, etc., with that life itself. These things certainly can contribute to our happiness, but the misguided notion that acquiring these things means leading a good life in and of themselves leads us further away from the authentic happiness we're trying to achieve in the first place. Quote, the really worthwhile things are the virtuous activities that make up the happy life, not the external means that may seem to produce it. End quote. These virtuous activities will vary from person to person, but the important word to remember here is activities. What are the good things that we ourselves are actually doing to bring us happiness? Those are the things that truly make up a happy life. Care take this moment. Epictetus concludes this set of essential teachings with one very important reminder. Care take this moment. It seems that this notion of focusing on the present isn't a construction of our modern self-help authors. It's as ancient Rome. We are called here to immerse ourselves in the particulars of this very moment. Respond to this person, this challenge, this deed. It is time for us to stop being bystanders in our own lives. It's time to participate, exert ourselves. Quote, it is time to really live, to fully inhabit the situation you happen to be in now. End quote. In immersing ourselves in the moment, we must also continue to respect our relationship with the big picture. We should continually ask ourselves, how may I perform this particular deed such that it would be consistent with and acceptable to the divine will? Here, Epictetus understands divine will simply as the big picture, not a religious entity. All of our actions should contribute and perpetuate our values and our virtues that we've defined as necessary for living a flourishing, extraordinary life. Thank you so much for spending this time with me today as we explored this life note in Spiritual Month. I do appreciate it. I certainly loved this one, and I look forward to bringing you more wisdom next month, each and every month, as we move through the 12 categories. We'll see you next time for the next life note, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. Have an extraordinary day, everybody.